Welcome to the Gathering Place Silverton Teaching Podcast. We are a community committed to helping people learn and live the way of Jesus in Silverton. We believe that our growth happens best within community. If you're not yet a part of a Jesus-centered community, we invite you to join us for one of our Sunday gatherings or go to gatheringplace.faith to find out more about how to get connected. So glad you guys are here. Hey, we got a couple of fun things happen this morning, a little different for the teaching time. I'll start out by chatting for a few minutes, just a little bit of review with our series, but then I've got these chairs up here. We're going to have a few of our friends who are going to have the opportunity to share a bit about their experience in trying to hear God's voice in their lives, you know, so I'll get to that in a little bit about what that's all about, but anyway, we started out our series on Easter, this series, How to Hear God's Voice, and I started by sharing this quote from Pete Gregg, who wrote the book, How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People, which I love that. If you're looking to grow in this area of hearing God's voice for your life, 5 stars, would recommend, get the book right away. It'll expand far greater and more in depth than what we did in our series. But Pete says this in his book. It says, learning to hear God's voice, his word and his whisper, is the single most important thing you will ever learn to do. Why is it important to hear God's voice for our lives? Well, it really gets to the heart of what we believe about discipleship to Jesus here at the Gathering Place. And at the Gathering Place, we believe that there's 3 goals of every disciple of Jesus. So we hit on this occasionally, 3 goals of every disciple, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and do the things that Jesus did or do what Jesus did. So the idea is that we spend time with Jesus through the scriptures. We get to know his words. Get his words in our minds and our imagination. We think of the picture of, Martha and Mary, and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from her rabbi. That is the picture of being with Jesus and learning his words. To become like Jesus, like hopefully what we begin to do is actually like adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. There was a way that Jesus lived. He lived in community, and he lived a life of abiding. In other words, he was always trying to do what he could do to connect with the Father, and that is the invitation for us as well, too. And then what happens over time, just simply by being with Jesus, living a life of abiding, is that we start to become like Jesus, and we start to do the things that Jesus did. This idea of, the fruit of the Spirit being born in our lives, right? John 15, apart from him, we can do nothing, but if we are connected to him, we begin to bear fruit in our lives. So we become people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, and all of those things. And our hope is that for everyone who is a follower of Jesus, that is a part of our church, our hope is that we would move from just receiving the good news of Jesus to becoming people who are willing to give away the good news of Jesus, right? That we receive this message of reconciliation, and we become people who actually give away this message of reconciliation, that we would be ambassadors of Jesus, that everybody in this church would move from just being ministered to actually becoming people who are ministers of the gospel in every single space that they are in. We've brought this message or this verse up quite a few times in the last couple series, but Ephesians 2:10, I hope you know it by now, and I hope you're annoyed almost, but we're going to keep saying it, and so maybe commit it to memory. For we are God's masterpiece, his workmanship, like his work of art. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Why is it so important to hear God's voice in our lives? Man, to be able to learn and live into who we are and into the unique work that God has made us for. Guys, there's a work that God has for you to do in the world. Uniquely you, actually. There are people that he wants to reach in love that I can never reach in love. You share space with people that I will never share space with, and God has put you where you are on purpose, with a purpose, for a reason. There are things that only you can do that nobody else can. There are people that you can love that only you will have the chance to love because they are in your sphere of influence. And there are places that only you are that God wants to use you. And here we say, your kingdom come and your will be done in Silverton as it is in heaven. We end almost every service with that benediction that includes that. But God wants the places that you go to be more like heaven. That's what he wants. He wants you to occupy space and bring goodness and beauty and peace and shalom wherever you are to make the places that you are more like heaven, more like it was meant to be from the very beginning, because you are doing the good works that God has called you to do. So in order to know the good works that he's invited us to, we must be able to hear his voice, to wrap it all around. Like, if we want to know what God's asking us to do, we got to hear his voice when he asks us, right? We got to be recognized that God is talking to us and asking us to engage with people and to do the things he's asking us to do. So the question we've been trying to answer throughout this series is exactly that. Like, how do we hear God's voice for our daily lives? And so what I'd like to do is, like, go ahead and invite you guys up now. We've got a few panelists, four folks who we're inviting up to have a conversation with about this. And you know, I think each of them would attest to this, that they're not necessarily experts, right? They're not experts, but they are practitioners. These are people who are attempting to do, just like you and me, grow in the skill of hearing God's voice for their lives. Want me to give you a hand here? You get it? All right. Perfect. Thanks, Jeannie. Awesome. So my hope is that as we listen to our four friends, and maybe a little bit of me and Ashley, hopefully not a lot, we can maybe pick up something and learn something from them about, you know, their experience in trying to hear God's voice in their lives. So that's the power of a testimony. Like, you know, to hear what they've experienced, maybe you can learn something from them, pick up something from them. Maybe you can learn what not to do, you know, because I think there's going to be some, they're going to share some stories of, here's how I failed at doing this. And so I think there's space for all of us to learn. So are you guys ready to jump in? Okay. Amazing. So, Ashley, you want to start off and just, yeah.
Sure. Okay. So, first question, and I do think it's, like, helpful to have other people tell us their experiences. Sometimes we need inspiration, we need ideas. So I'm super excited to hear from you guys. Our first question is, can you share about one of the ways that God has personally spoken to you and what that experience was like? And again, we're drawing from how God speaks to us through scripture, through the whisper, and through ordinary life circumstances. So if anybody wants to just go ahead, I'll give you the mic, share about how God has personally spoken to you. Who wants to go first? Oh, Daphne.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Daphne was first.
So I...
By the way, this is Daphne, and you're a senior in high school at Sprague,
yeah.
Right? I know things about
I'm
you.
I'm Daphne. I'm a senior at high school at Sprague. yeah, so this is the one time so far that I have, like, think I've actually heard God's voice. It was at camp, I think last year or 2 years ago. I was at a breakout session, and so it was like a small group, and the leader was telling us about how we can hear God's voice. And prior to this, I had always felt, you know, I've always been told, I grew up in the church, like, oh, you just need to, like, listen, you need to ask for him, and he will come and speak to you. I've done that, I feel like, and I heard nothing. So I always went into doing this, went into trying to hear God's voice with anxiety, like, oh, he's not gonna speak because he hasn't before. But the breakout leader said something that really helped me. He did this analogy of a bus stop. You know the bus is gonna come at 4:15. And at 4:10, you're like, okay, the bus is coming, I'm fine. 4:11, you're starting to get, you know, like, oh, maybe the bus is coming, but, like, I don't know, I'm not sure. But at, like, 4:14, you're starting to get nervous. But at 4:15, the bus comes anyway. But the build up to that, you still get more nervous and more nervous, but it still comes. And so I kind of just was sitting in silence and thinking about that, and I was just at peace knowing that God will come in his own time. And I heard sit in the now, and that is what I heard in my head. And that was the most confident I've ever been that, oh, that was God speaking, sit in the now. And that was that gave me peace. And that is something that I repeat myself to myself recently.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay.
David?
I'm David Purcell. I'm Daphne's dad. I'm not a senior in Sprague. So I think what I will share is how my family came to this church, actually. Some of you have heard it who have been in, like, small group or something with me, but just one Sunday at New Hope, decided, you know, the Gerbers decided they're going to take the senior pastorship here, and our senior pastor at New Hope invited the congregation to say, if you feel a need to go with them, we bless you to go, which was, that's not all pastors would do that. I thought in my head, that sounds kind of cool, but yeah, it's not going to happen. So I'm thankful that Ashley, of course, hears from God, and she approaches me at youth group and says, we're really praying for the Purcells. And I said, really? And so just to say, you know, I had kind of something in my heart was kind of like, that might be kind of fun. And but it was, the reality was that, you know, we had 15 years there. It was be a further drive, and kind of all these other things kind of interrupted maybe that initial, like, raw, pure feeling of, like, maybe this is something we should do. And my wife's very practical, and I kind of was doubtful that she would go for it. Just because, and no, this is a, we need her and for just that reason. Why are we going an extra 15 minutes to church? And so I said, okay, I'll talk to Shauna about it. And I go home and I said, okay, Shauna, it's okay to say no. And what she said was, I think I'm open to that. And my point is that, sometimes, and I know for me, so many different voices are going in my head, and you might hear one of those is God, but then it's easily interrupted by something else, and so there may be some doubt there. So fortunately, God has really confirmed things with me through people to know what his will is. And I would, one more piece to that is we weren't obedient to the Lord at first. We had a very big disruption in our family, as many of you know. Daphne got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and that was right after we had kind of said where we were going to go. And so we're like, wait a minute. Okay, not now. We just spent 15 years in this church. This is our support system. We're not going. And so we delayed, and it was very clear to me, like it was on a drive, I think, when we were heading to chemotherapy treatments, where the Lord was like, I didn't tell you to wait. Look, all of her supports went to the gathering place, you know, with Lainey and Lacey, Ashley and James, and, you know, that was Daphne's primary supports. So not only, you know, we were asked to go, the Holy Spirit spoke to us to go. We said, wait, not yet, but the Lord was like, no. So we're very thankful for his grace, of course. But I'm also very thankful that it's not just up to me. Like he will confirm. He has people around you. If you have people, believers around you, they're going to confirm and they're going to support that. They're going to support that the will of God in your life.
That's really good, David. Thank you. Yeah. Love the process there. Yeah, because it's not just instant. Sometimes it's confirmation through other voices, and I love that. Yeah. Either you want to share or.
I tend to be quick and efficient, and I noticed when you said what the Lord has spoke to you, I was like, that's how he talks to me too. He doesn't use a lot of words. It's usually like a very short sentence, so it's easy for me to remember what he said. But also, I heard this thing a long time ago. I'm thinking my dad said it because he said things like this all the time, but so I'm just going to assume. You can tell me if I'm wrong, Dad. But he said something like, when you get a thought that's better than you, that you're just like, whoa, I'm not that good. Ooh, that's a good idea. I'm not that smart. And that's like this thought of knowing, or I'm not patient, but I'm having this patient thought, you know, that is just a good way of knowing that's probably from the Lord, you know. It's, you aren't that good, Trish, but he is. And another one is like when scripture comes to mind that I'm like, I didn't memorize that, but it's in my head. Like, whoa, cool, you know? And I don't have that good of a memory. I'm 52, so I'm losing it every day. So when something comes, when a scripture comes to my mind, it's like, that must be God, because I seriously could barely remember a word. You know, sometimes I'm like, you know that word, it starts with P, and I can't. So yeah, when we have something come into our head that's just better than us, practically, it's
that's great.
Probably,
yeah.
God.
And that's just, I'll note this too. At some point I figured I'd say this, but last week we talked through those filters of like, man, maybe you do hear a word that gets dropped into your heart and you're like, oh, that's just me, right? You sometimes assume that the voice that you hear inside of your head or whatever is just from you and it's made up. And the, you know, the question you can ask, the filter you can run that through, especially if it's like, I'm not so sure, is it affirming? Is it biblical? As in, is it something you see in the Bible, like in Scripture, confirmed? And is it Christ-like? Does it look like Jesus? Does it seem like something Jesus would tell you? You know, if it's demeaning and you are a terrible piece of garbage, probably not, because that's not how he operates. That's not how Jesus operates. He's not going to shame you, right? So if it's shame, I'm going to just go ahead and say now, if you're feeling shame and you keep hearing shame from the Lord or from in the voice inside your head, it's not the Lord, you know? But share with somebody what you are experiencing so you can invite other people into it so that maybe they can speak truth to you and tell you what's real. So, yeah. Okay, next question. Can you share a time when God used Scripture to guide, correct, comfort, or speak directly into your life? Oh, here we go. Who are
you? I'm Jeannie.
Jeannie! Yeah.
So, and I'm a lot older than you, girl. So, so anyway, I brought notes, but I'm not going to use it. You know, the Lord just speaks to us all the time. What was the question again, by the way?
Yeah. How does he use Scripture to speak to you?
Okay. Yeah. He speaks to us all the time. We just don't hear it. You know, we're too busy. I find myself getting too busy and doing stuff like that. So we just have to be ready and willing to hear him when he says it. And it's a small voice that will drive you crazy if you don't listen to it. That could be part of my problem, I guess, my craziness, I don't know. But I forgot the question. Scripture. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm acting dingy right now, and I don't like that. Scripture. I've memorized Scripture all my life because I was raised from birth in the church, and so I've got a lot of Scripture in my head. And the one verse that really has been my life verse is, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." And every time I get in a place where I am losing it, that peace comes in to me because the verse comes to my head, and the Lord floods me with his peace.
Yeah, who else? Anybody else? Scripture? Yes. David.
So I was thinking of this question, and really nothing came to mind as far as like a time where I could clearly say God was speaking to me through this verse, like to do something specific or like, you know, go to Nineveh or something like that. nothing quite like that. But what I did find is when I am regularly and consistently in the word and also prayer, I hear God's voice much louder. I know times in my life when I have like kind of strayed away from that and I felt distance from God and I wasn't hearing from God. So having that rhythm, and you know, there's plenty of, all the time, Scripture will edify, will comfort, you know, that's all the things that Scripture does. So you know, those are always true and from my perspective, but when I am consistently doing that, when I'm consistently praying and reading, I just hear God's voice so much more consistently because, just as Jeannie said, I think that God is always speaking to us, and we just have to quiet down so that we can hear him.
That's good. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah,
you want to share?
I almost spoke into my phone. I was going to share of a time that the Lord spoke to me through Scripture, because I feel like this is the primary way that I hear the voice of the Lord. And for me, it also means that I try to sit in Scripture daily so that he can speak to me more. But the verse I was thinking of, it actually, it's about my parenting. So parenting is really hard. Parenting 5 kids is really hard. And I feel like I need new mercies every day. New mercies for me, new mercies for my kids. And as I'm growing and trying to be like a regulated patient parent. One time there was just like a really hard situation and a kid that was really struggling. And I was in scripture and I was like, God, can you speak to me? Can you give me something? Like, how do I do this? And I read 2 Corinthians, it's verse 4. It says, God who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that we ourselves have received by God. And that word affliction just like jumped out at me because my child at the time seemed like they were really afflicted. And I was like, man, that like describes her. And then I looked it up and the word affliction means pressure. It means like this internal pressure that makes it seem like you feel backed into a corner. And I was like, this seems like my kid right now. And then I looked up the word comfort and it means to not discipline and not punish, because I was like, man, I need this behavior to stop, you know? But the word comfort means to encourage, to plead, to urge, to come alongside. And I felt like it changed my parenting that day. I was like, okay, my kid seems afflicted. And instead of me being like, what other, you know, consequence should they have?
What I more felt affliction like, can I bring?
What?
Hey, what more affliction can I bring into your life? That'll help.
Yeah. How can I add to their affliction? No, I was just like, I think the Lord is like, hey, in this instance, they're feeling really afflicted and you just need to come alongside and like be the regulated patient parent who urges, even pleads. The word comfort sometimes means to plead. So I'm like, please, please work with me. But yeah, God spoke to me in scripture that day, an encouragement for myself, an encouragement for my kid, all because I just took the time to sit in the word. So
it's really good. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll just jump off of something that David said too. For me, it's like the more that I'm in scripture, the easier it is for me to hear the voice of the Lord. There's an analogy that somebody used one time is this idea of like, even in a really loud room, a parent knows when their kid's the kid that screams, you know, like, or they know their kid's voice because they know them intimately, right? Yeah, like we know when Gus, even I know Gus is screaming. I'm, you know, like I'm not his dad, but you know. But the idea is like, you know, in the noise of life, the more that you are like with the Father intimately through the scriptures, the easier it's going to be to hear his voice with all of the other voices happening, no matter how loud they are, right? And we live in a noisy, noisy culture full of all kinds of not truths and half truths. And to hear the real thing, to be with Jesus through scripture is to be able to recognize the real thing. My sheep hear my voice and they recognize it, right? And so anyway, that's for me, the more that I'm in scripture, I think the easier it is for me to hear the voice of the Lord through all of the other stuff. So yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. So slowing down to hear God. Throughout this series, we have repeatedly hit on the idea that hearing God will likely require us to slow down. What practices personally help you slow down enough to notice God's whisper or quiet leading?
So I'm sure if you've been in the church long enough, you might have been encouraged to get up earlier and read your Bible. And for a long time, I was like, I don't need to get up earlier. That is anti-night owls. And so like, when I was younger, I was never really in a consistent pattern with reading my Bible, but when I did, it would be like in the evening. And honestly, I tried it because I wanted to be counterculture or something, and it didn't work for me. I discovered that for the past year, I have been actually reading my Bible in the morning, and guys, it's actually really good. I'm sorry to tell you. It just sets your day off right, and the distractions of your day can't get in the way yet, it's really good, and I encourage it, and that's what helps me slow down. But if it doesn't work for you, and if you read your Bible in the evenings, I'm happy for you.
Jeannie, go ahead.
I tend to be overactive sometimes, and you haven't seen that too much yet, but when I'm feeling good, I want to do everything. You know, I want to be busy. I want to do. And the Lord has a way of screaming rest at me. He doesn't just tell it quietly in my ear. He screams it. And that's what's happening to me right now. You know, the Lord's saying, Jeannie, it's time to rest. I don't like really hearing that because I'm resting all the time now, and it's getting old. But you know, the Lord just speaks in such a sweet voice that I have a prayer room at home, and I go in there every morning, and I have my time with the Lord, and it's such a blessing to be able to spend time and abide with the Lord. He wants us to abide with him.
Excellent. Thank you. David, yeah.
Just something very practical and simple. I mean, I'm the person that likes their podcast. I like my music and my car. And I have a roughly 30-minute commute. And there's sometimes where I feel like I just need to, like, turn that all off and just go drive in silence. And sometimes that's when I really kind of allow my brain to slow down a little bit, and I can hear, and I feel a little bit more in touch. But taking just whatever you can practically do to take the noise away. Trust me, I love my music. I love all those things, and they're going to happen. But there are times where I've got to shut it off.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. I was like, maybe I don't need to say anything. David already did. For long car rides and other times in my life, I have this thing where I talk to myself. Anyone? and myself doesn't really have great things to say. And sometimes I get stuck in, like, thinking a lot and just in my own thoughts and trying to figure out a solution in my own mind or by talking to myself about it. And so just something the Lord has been really, I don't know, just drawing me to is just don't talk to you, talk to me. And like the Lord just saying, just stop talking to Trish, just talk to me. So that's just a slight reframe, right? Instead of, oh, what should I do about this? And what if I try, you know, if I just reframe it like, okay, Jesus, what should I do about this? And how should, you know, and what if I tried that? Just even putting his name into my thoughts to redirect them that they are towards him and not just towards me and my own mind. And that's just been recent that God's been working with me on that. And it's just turned my thoughts way more fruitful than just being me, like, stewing in my own thoughts and talking to my own self. And I seem less crazy also, because talking to yourself's weird.
That's awesome. I'll throw one of the practices that I've been practicing a little bit more lately this last year. Because I think posture really matters, like what your posture, like your physical body posture really matters for attention. So for me, sometimes what I will do is I just go on the back patio and I lay on the ground on my back and I put my hat over my face. You don't have to do that. Put my AirPods in and I just put like ambient music or, you know, whatever, vibey music on that doesn't have words. And then I just sit, you know, I feel like when I get like amped up, you know, and I feel like I need to rest, it's the same thing Jeannie taught. I don't want to rest. I just want to do things. And I just feel like I starts to be like this buildup of like anxiety and angst. And for me, the posture, I think, of just laying, it's that idea of like being prostrate before the Lord, you know, like there's a lot about that in scripture. And something about like changing your whole body posture from what it normally is really helpful, I think, to just get your whole mindset in a different place to where you can actually hear from the Lord. And so for me, I feel like when I'm like, I just come to a place where I'm like, I just have to do this. And I've started to do it when I feel like I don't have to do it and I just get to do it, you know? So I'd encourage you with that. Like if you've never been a person that's like tried praying while laying down or whatever, like, or maybe it's on your face or on your back or whatever you can physically do, I would encourage that. I think it's made a huge difference in my prayer life, in my hearing God's voice for my life. So yeah. The follow-up to that, just like maybe one or two people. I mean, I think this is everybody would like, me too. What have you found causes you to speed up and miss God's voice in your life? Like everything.
Self-sufficiency, like that. Sorry, that thought, like I can handle it. I got this. I can handle my life. I can do this on my own. I feel like that thought is just pervasive and makes me work harder, do more, speed up. If I just do that, I can handle this. And that's just, I know for me, it's just sinful to think like that. And the Holy Spirit convicts me of that. Like, yeah, you can do it on your own, Trish. You're super capable. Go ahead, spin your wheels, like work harder. And then when I get tired and I come back to him, he's like, I got this, right? you couldn't do it on your own the whole time, but he lets us spin our wheels sometimes. And he's just, I mean, all the time. And he's just gracious to call us back in those moments where we're tired because we've been spinning, we've been working and proving to ourselves and everybody else that we got it, we can handle this. And yeah, and he lovingly just says, let me handle it. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Here you go.
Oh, sorry.
So I think busyness is obviously the very overarching thing that makes us speed up and gets in the way. But I think another thing that kind of is beneath the busyness is the planning and the worrying that goes along with it. Like, you start the week and you're thinking, oh, I need to do this on Tuesday. I need to do that. I need to do this. I have an appointment then. I need to plan this. I need to write down a whole list about these things. I can get caught up in the planning and the worrying so much that I'm not living in the present, which I think God really calls us to live in the present. Like, I'm thinking of that one verse, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. Yeah. So it's a practice that I need to... that I'm conscious about recently, that I need to trust the future with God and I need to work more in the present.
So good. Okay, so next question. Looking back, can you share a time when God was guiding you through an ordinary circumstance, an interruption, a delay, or a closed door?
Not all at once. Yeah. Oh, Jeannie.
Back when COVID started, it shut down my whole ministry. And that was, you know, not just church, because we had had a ministry training for years and years, 9 months out of the year. That shut that down. I had a ministry at Providence Benedictine Nursing Center for years, going and singing. They told us we couldn't come inside and sing, but we could sing outside at the windows. So we'd walk around all their rooms, we'd sing. And then that shut that down, you know? And when you have been so ready to serve the Lord and be in ministry and do whatever he wants you to do, he just got, you know, I got shut down. And it's had a hard time getting back going. And so, you know, it was just grinding to a stop at our church when we were here before. And then we jump in and everything's new. You know, in my late 70s, it's hard to start up something new, you know. But that urge in me is always there for ministry. I'm called to minister to people and disciple people. And then my health shuts me down. You know, I'm just here right now to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. And I think I'm off this question, but... You know, the Lord guides us no matter what we're going through sickness, through health, through joy, through sorrow. He guides us all the way through it. And I've been through all of those in my whole life. So I just praise the Lord for always being there for us.
So good.
That's great.
Anybody else? Interruption? Closed door? Delay.
Oh, there's.
So, already mentioned, I was diagnosed with cancer. Okay, so there was a time last year where, because of the side effects of chemo, I was having so much pain in my throat that I could not eat. And the whole hospital thing, but I make it home and I'm getting my nutrients through like an IV essentially. I had this thing called a portacath. And so I was taking nutrients through that, but it needed to be changed out. Also, we were worried about this because camp, summer camp, youth camp, was coming up. And I was like, oh, I don't know how that's going to go when I'm getting my nutrients through a needle. So that was a worry. And my dad wasn't going to be there that camp. So it was a whole thing. But anyway, we have a nurse come and visit us at home to change out. Was it the needle? What? Yes, change the access, and my port is kind of tricky. Sometimes nurses can work with it, sometimes I can't. This time, could not work with it. He tried once to change it out, did not go in, tried again, was not happening, tried a third time, and we just decide to give up. It hurt really bad, and I was like, okay, well, we're just gonna give up. This is too much pain, I can't do this right now. I'll talk to my doctor when I see her on Wednesday. And so we do that, and I talk to her on Wednesday, and I say, well, we couldn't get the access in, but I've actually been eating okay on my own lately. The medicines have been working. Do you think, like, I could just not go through with continuing the liquid nutrition? And she's like, yeah. You didn't have to get it accessed. I think you're fine now. You can, as long as you're eating okay on your own, you're fine. And so I was able to go to camp without having to deal with the nutrition, which is a whole ordeal. And it was like that pain, because it hurt so bad. But I think that is a lesson that even if it hurts in the moment, God has a better plan for it. And that was just an incredible experience in camp. Is always incredible, but that was just a life-changing experience for me. And God, through that, was able to make that happen.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah, and I'll open up the second and third question. Maybe I'll ask them all at once, because we talked about like God speaking in the ordinary. So there's this idea of God speaks in the 3 points from, I think, last week? I don't know. Like God speaks to us in the slowdown, by slowing or stopping us from something. He speaks to us through our pain and our suffering, our difficulty, and he speaks to us through our bodies. And so the question is, like, has the Lord spoken to you in any of those three ways, whether it's through your body, through the slowdown, through your pain? Well, I'll start by saying that, like, again, with my stubbornness of overworking, that a way that the Lord has spoken to me about slowing down is he allows me to get sick, you know. Like, I used to work so much that I literally would not stop unless I was dying, you know, the sickness. I feel as though enough times that the Lord has really, like, I think over and over again just reminded me, you don't have to work this hard. Like, in fact, you're not really adding anything. You're just murdering your soul. I feel like I've gotten to a point of like, oh, I'm starting to recognize it a little bit before I get the sickness, and I'm caring for myself a little bit better. And so for me, I think the Lord speaks to me through like, dude, I'm going to slow you down if you don't slow yourself down, which it's a bummer that it gets that far. But, you know, that's a thing. That is a thing. Yeah. Ash, you got?
Yeah. Oh, yes. For me, about maybe a year ago, I started not being able to breathe all the time. And I thought it was anxiety. I thought it was, who knows, connected to my mom's declining health, like all kinds of things, that I was just so stressed, you know, that I was not being able to breathe. And what that did for me was I had to slow down a lot. I had to lay down a lot to breathe, like lay on my back. I had to start employing tools like box breathing and all kinds of stuff to help me. And then later it turns out I might have asthma or something, so I'm on all kinds of inhalers, but it still affects me. I still every day struggle, feel like I can't breathe. Doctors say I'm the healthiest person they've ever seen. So who knows? But how God speaks to me is that I can't do day without him. Like, I am constantly praying, and I'm constantly like in session with clients, I am just like, Jesus, please help me to breathe so that I'm not a disruption even to this, you know, this space. Yeah, and so I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and I don't know what it is still, and I take medication, and I'm on inhalers, and I, you know, whatever, and I still struggle to breathe. What is that? But I am more dependent on God for my every single day, like all day, than I have ever been, probably. And it reminds me of the scripture, blessed are the poor in spirit, and it's okay. But I sometimes feel very, like, so needy. And then I'm reminded that, like, if the worst thing is that I know that I am so dependent on God, then that's actually fine. It's fine. So.
Yeah, that's good. And to synthesize something I thought you were touching on is the slowdown through, like, slowdown, interruptions, our bodies failing us, our pain is just a reminder of what's already true. Like, was Ashley any less dependent on God actually before that? No, like, we're fully dependent on God. We need his grace for everything. Like, we think of God, we always connect God's grace to, like, salvation. Like, we're saved by grace through faith. But we need God's grace to just even exist, even if it wasn't for salvation. It's like to have breath in our lungs and to do everything. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. So all of these slowdowns, all of these, the pain that we experience, all of that, it's a reminder of what is already true. That we're actually created for full dependence on God. And that we are created to, like, hear his voice for direction for our lives. And apart from him, we just actually are wandering around aimlessly and we really can't do any of it. So it's a reminder of what's already true. Yeah. Anything else on those three areas for y'all?
Okay.
Yeah.
We will move forward. Okay, so confirming a word is from the Lord. Have you ever sensed God saying something internally but needed confirmation? What have you done to confirm something is or is not from the Lord? If you want to tell a story, which David already did.
Yeah.
That was so cool. But, yeah. Anybody?
Oh, Trish and Jeannie. Jeannie and Trish, both. Sure. How about, yeah.
I'll give you this okay.
this is kind of an opposite story. I had this moment, and I don't know why God brought this up. Maybe this will hit with one of you. I had been in a meeting, and I had said some things that I thought were great in the moment, but afterward, like, the Holy Spirit just was like, that was out of line. And so I went to my friend, who was a coworker and was in that meeting, and I said, hey, I think that I was out of line in that meeting. And she said, oh, no, you were fine. I think what you said was fine. And I was like, the Holy Spirit does not agree with you. he does not think what I said was fine. And see what I mean? It's a strange example because sometimes we can even go to a person who we think is going to maybe tell us what we want to hear because who I am wanted to hear that I was fine and I wasn't out of line. But in my heart, as she spoke it, I was like, oh, that's not true. That's not true. And so, I mean, weird example, but I think that even when we go about it wrong, or maybe we go to someone that we think will line up, he still protects us from that person's bias or that they love us too much to tell us, or maybe they're afraid to say, yeah, Trish, you were out of line. You know, maybe they're afraid that I wouldn't like them or be their friend anymore. But the Holy Spirit inside of us just revs up against that. Anyway.
That's good. Jeannie, how about you?
So I didn't really start hearing from the Lord until I was in my 50s. Even though I was a Christian all those years, you know. But I was starting to be trained up in how to stop and listen to what the Lord's saying to me. Well, in my infancy doing that, I was going to a pastor's conference with one of my friends from the church before here, and we stopped at a grocery store, and as we were going in, there was a young man that came in, and I just felt led to say hi to him and be friendly to him. And that was the Lord telling me. He wanted me to reach out to him. And so I said, good morning, how are you this morning? And he said, oh, it's kind of a rough day, you know, but, you know, I'm here, you know. And so we went into the store, and he was checking out at one side, and I was checking out at the next side, and I overheard him say that his newborn baby was in the hospital and very, very sick, and he didn't know what he was going to do. And he didn't go to work that day, didn't call in. So he was at the hospital, you know. So anyway, so the Lord said to me, in my head, I want you to go and pray for that man and his baby. And I kind of felt like the one that, you know, was it Moses that said, send somebody else? Yeah. 'Cause I wasn't used to doing things like that. I get shy once in a while. So anyway, I went over to my friend and I said, God wants us to go and pray for that man. And she said, well, he told you, not me.
What a friend.
Yeah, she was a wild child. I don't know. But anyway, so I went out and waited for him. I hovered and waited for him to come. And he came out, and I said, could I talk to you for a minute? And he said, yeah. And I said, I overheard you saying that your baby is very sick. And I said, I really feel like I need to pray for the baby and to pray for you. And he said, yes. You know, and so we just stopped right there in front of God and everybody and prayed in the parking lot. You know, I prayed over him and I prayed over the baby and that the baby would be healed, you know, in Jesus' name. We've got that power, by the way. So we hugged and I was walking away and he said, oh, just one more thing. Could you pray for me because I didn't go to work today and I might not have a job and I really need this job. And they harass him a lot over there. So we prayed again. You know, God is so good. And if I hadn't done it, nobody would have done it, you know? And so when God gives you a thought in your head and you feel that it's not going to go away, you know, do it.
And especially, you know, I would say, especially if it's something that's good, yeah. You know, like, what's the worst that's going to happen when you ask somebody to pray for them? Right. Or you know what? What's the worst thing that happened is I found if the Lord's prompted me to, I don't know, pick somebody up for a ride, wouldn't recommend for most people, don't pick people up for rides, you know, or pray for somebody or, you know, ask them a question. I've almost always been met with, actually, yeah, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, you know, so what's the worst thing that can happen if we hear something from the Lord and it's a positive thing? Now, be careful on, I think I heard the Lord tell me to call this person out. Like, really take a little extra time to discern that. And is it, you know, again, is it, like, is it encouraging? Is it, you know, is it Christ-like? Is it biblical? You know, like that whole thing. But yeah, when it's something good and you think that the Lord is, like, you can be bold and go for it and see what happens, you know? Yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed. And it's kind of great. You get a little addicted to that kind of thing, you know? I started picking people up all the time. They're like, oh, you want gas? How about, have you heard about Jesus? And I led some people to Jesus like that, you know? Like, and it's like, you're like, man, like, you can really do this. Like, this really works, you know? So anyway, once you open the floodgates, I'll tell you what. Okay, Ash, I think next question.
Yeah, okay, next question. Have you experienced a season where God felt silent? And can you describe it? And what did you learn in that time?
Oh, here we go, Jeannie.
He's usually silent when I'm off base. You know, if I'm not really, if I'm too busy, or if I'm feeling bad for myself or something, you know. He's speaking, I'm just not listening to him. And I do that every now and then. So, you know, we just have to be aware of our bodies and what we're doing and what we're not doing to serve him and to listen to him.
There was a period of time where I was praying a lot because I wanted to go a different direction with my job. It was pretty stressful. I work in a pretty stressful environment. It's kind of weighing at times. If you don't know, I'm a social worker and I work with child abuse and neglect. And I felt like the Lord was just completely ignoring me. Like, did you see that I'm really upset, stressed out, and I think my physical health is actually being affected by it. It was just really, really bad. But I felt like there's just nothing. I would, you know, kind of apply for other things in the state, and they didn't work out. And I usually interview really well, so it really didn't make sense. But what it was that I had some things to learn. Like, God had some things for me to learn, and he didn't want me just, you know, to just move on from there. I had some things that I had to kind of work through, and I had other purpose that I kind of found out later, too. So he's brought me, you know, I've not left my job, and I actually am in a very good environment. I mean, it's still a stressful job. There's no way around it. But I'm in a very different place than I am now, and in fact, you know, have a great relationship with the rest of the people there that I didn't have before. And it just took some, it kind of just took, you have to just lean into it. And sometimes, you know, I guess what I discovered is that God isn't necessarily there to rescue you. He has a purpose for you. And if he has something to teach you, keep your ears open for it.
Good. And then final question for y'all. And I'll reshape this question a little bit. But for somebody who's wanting to hear from God but doesn't know where to start, what would you say to them? What have you learned? What would you say to them will be helpful for them, most helpful for them? Jeannie.
I find it easier to be drawn to the Lord if you're spending time in the Word daily. And he speaks to you through the Word, but once you get that Word in you and you're soaking it up and listening to what he's telling you, he is going to speak to you and guide you. And, I mean, there's no way around it. That's what he's there for, you know, to guide us through this life that's pretty difficult at times. But he's always there, and he's always faithful.
I was just thinking, put yourself out there. That sometimes putting ourselves out there, whether that's reading a scripture at the beginning of the day and just be like, I'm this one verse. Okay, Lord, show me why I read that today. And just putting myself out there or putting myself into a quiet moment or sitting down and talking to someone that I don't know. Like, I've gotten to the point where I don't know strangers. I just sit down and talk to people like we're old friends. Because just so many times putting myself in that environment to just sit down and talk to somebody that the Lord would show up in that, whether it was my listening to them or just getting to encourage them and being like, oh, Lord, you set that up. But really, it was because I just put myself out there. So in whatever way, I think that's different for each of us, of just asking the Lord, like, how can I put myself out there?
Just spend time with him. Spend time with him. If you think about relationships that you have and you get so close to that person that you can kind of know what they're thinking, you can kind of finish their sandwiches or sentences. That's how your relationship with God should be. And if you spend time with him, you're going to hear him.
Oh, yeah.
community is what comes to my mind. Yeah. It it keeps you centered when you falter, because you will falter. You will fall behind on reading your Bible. You will fall behind. You will lack faith at times. But that community is what keeps you coming back, and they keep you stable while you aren't.
So good.
That's good. It's something you want to add that, Asher?
Nope.
Amazing. Yeah. And I will add one little thing. Again, I just think how important it is to be in the Scripture. You know, to be sure that God's speaking to you means experiencing the real thing. A little analogy for you. I was reading about how counterfeiters, people who work for the government, can identify like a counterfeit bill. You would think it is by showing a bunch of counterfeit bills and be like, look at how fake this looks. You know, like this. Look at this counterfeit. Sometimes they do this thing and it's fake. But they actually, what they do is they just get the real thing in their hands. And the more that you have the real thing in your hands, the easier it is to identify the not real thing when you see it. You can spot it from a mile away because you know the real thing so well. And so I just encourage you, man, like you want to hear from the Lord. You want to be confident that he's speaking to you in your everyday life. It means experiencing the real thing, like getting the real words of Jesus in your mind and your imagination. And it will impact all of the areas of your life because you'll spot from a million miles away, nope, I don't think that's the real thing. Like I'm going to flee from that. Nope, I think I'm supposed to do this and not that. That sounds great, but that doesn't sound like the voice of Jesus for my life. That sounds like something that's counterfeit. So guys, can we just say thank you for the panel?